Backseat Producers, episode number 284, God Bless America.
Interesting at Gen Con.
Oh man, Indianapolis has a ton of street sausage vendors. Like a ton. I had several street sausages.
So you ate a lot of street sausage.
I ate so much street sausage.
Thank God I'm recording.
And one of the guys that we're friends with, I found out is gay, and I was like, you and I have to go find some street sausage. That wasn't exactly the evolution of the conversation. But it's not funny if I don't say it that way.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah, but man, he and I got some sausage and it was so good. So, we also played Risk of Legacy. So I played Risk of Legacy with Stingray, Megan, Josh, and James. So we played the first game, and not everybody was impressed. So I was giving them I was really drunk. Probably did not play it the right way. So everyone was like, oh, okay. So like I forced everyone to get back together. I'm like, I forced the game to be played again. So it was me, Stingray, James, Mike, and Art. So we played again, and then Stingray's like, oh, I see now. Yes, I bet you do. Then we played again, and it was delicious. It was so good.
I hear someone upset.
Someone is not happy. So now we have a Gen Con Risk of Legacy game. 7:15 p.m. Eastern is 6:15 tomorrow, right?
That is correct.
My fantasy draft for my office is tomorrow. These fuckheads can't figure this thing out. I get it. Okay, so it's real easy. You take the league we had last year, and you put inverse order by the loser.
Yeah.
And then you add everybody else at the end.
Yeah.
That's real. So last
year, new people get buried.
Yeah, they get buried at the end, and then first person should go last. Somehow we fucked this up last year, where we ordered it and then randomized it 15 minutes before the draft and couldn't change the draft order, so we just ended up drafting random. Which I don't know, I was drafting second, which was funny. Actually, I don't like being on the ends of snake draft.
Snake draft meaning you start at the beginning and then loop back around.
Yeah, and then the last person goes twice. And then the first person goes twice when it gets back to them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get hosed, I think.
Then you get two picks almost in a row.
I know, but I don't get to pick until 12th, which Aaron Rodgers is the recommended 12th pick this year.
Out of how many? You're not getting Rodgers. Somebody's going to.
No, I'm 12th. 12th of 14.
You're not. Of 14. You're not getting Rodgers. Your love of Rodgers is too well known. How many dickheads you have in your office?
Lots.
So yeah,
but he's not the good fantasy pick though.
Yeah, but what would you be willing to trade?
No, nothing. I didn't trade for him last year. I didn't have him last year either. Oh. Last year I blazed to Manning. Manning was the smart play last year, and he delivered. I don't have a smart play this year. I tried to catch some of the preseason games just to get an idea, but as a crapshoot.
Those might not even be the first string guys playing.
Well, I mean, they do play the first string guys, but they don't play them for very long. Yeah. They play them just long enough, and then the rest of the people who play are all people who are, like, vying for positions, starting positions. So they have some strong incentive to do well.
Sure.
But who knows? Tony, I found the best game. I found the best new party game we got to get.
What's that?
It's called Snake Oil. You don't have to lie. I'll just explain it to you. It's really easy.
I'm just looking. I'm going to see how much it is. I just might buy it right now.
So the concept of the game is you get a bunch of cards. It's like apples to apples, whatever, or Cards Against Humanity. But you get two cards, or you get like a handful of cards, and they're all nouns. All right? And so the idea is the person who you're pitching to pulls a card and puts it down, and so like it says like, I'm a cheerleader or whatever, and you have to combine your two nouns into a product and then pitch it to them. The best one I saw was Heaven Pocket.
We don't even need. We can just.
Oh we just God. Make up words.
We could. It with cards. Yeah. Exactly. Cards Against Humanity cards. Playing this game.
It was
$16 on Amazon.
It was so good. Like, do not ever let Andrew or Art or Evan sell you something.
Are they good?
They're too much. Born hucksters.
I've never met Evan, but yeah, I know.
No, Art. We came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know Art.
And no one suspected that. I'm glad we played this because I'm pretty sure that guy could separate me from a lot of money if we just met out in the wild.
We need to hire those two to run a Kickstarter campaign.
Yes.
Snake Oil, the best party game in the world.
I don't know that I would go that far.
Well, that's what it says on the box. Which is kind that's of pretty the good. Point.
That's pretty good. All right, Snake Oil. You passed the test.
Well played.
So anyway, we'll talk about next week.
The rate I'm going, we could talk about Orange is the New Black. I've been watching that.
I haven't watched a single episode of it.
I watched 4 episodes in the last 2 days.
Aren't there only like 12 episodes?
13.
Okay.
And apparently they're either just now or they're about to start shooting season 2. They've already got a second season for it going.
Apparently it's been a big success for Netflix.
The first 4 episodes that I've seen are solid. I've heard a lot of people talking about it, and what really prompted me to finally get up my ass and watch it was Paul's tweet last week where he named the gaming group as characters from it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, fuck, now I have to see who these people are because I want to know how I'm represented. So you're Red. I'm Miss Claudette. He is Nikki. Luke is Mendez. And Eric is Pensatucky. I've just seen Pensatucky. So the characters, in real high-level terms, you are a Russian chef. She runs the kitchen, and in the first or second episode, the main character pisses her off. And so she's like, oh, you're Chapman. Somebody's at the breakfast line. You're Chapman. Here, this is special from Red. She opens it up, and it's like a McMuffin, like an English muffin. She opens it up, and there's a bloody tampon inside. So then she tries to, starve her out the rest of the episode. Miss Claudette is this old Haitian woman who's awesome.
She summons spirits?
Fucking awesome. Mm. No, she doesn't believe any of that shit. You don't mess with Miss Claudette. Like, nobody fucks with Miss Claudette.
No, I'm the racist.
Like, nobody fucks with Miss Claudette. Nikki is the chick that was in American Pie with the crazy hair. She's kind of psychotic. She's never been really in much of anything. She is a former drug addict in this show, and Red helps her get off the drugs. So she kind of looks up at her as a mother figure. That's Paul.
Luke. That is Kate Mulgrew, by the way.
Yes. Yes, that is Kate Mulgrew. Damn. I knew I recognized her from somewhere. Luke is Mendez, who is one of the guards that they refer to as Porn Stash.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Yeah,
her.
Yeah. Oh, Natasha something or another. She was. Now she's like, looks like she used to be a drug addict.
That doesn't mean she's not hot.
She's not hot.
No, she's giving a hot vibe here, Tony.
That picture, yeah, that's not how she looks in the show. Take the worst of her hair and make it 20 times worse. Then make her sleep for 4 days without washing her hair. And that's kind of what she looks like all the time.
Yeah, no, Tony, I'm in for that. Tony, there was just one chick in the shade that had dreadlocks.
Mm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mendez is the porn stash guard who, like whenever they need to frisk the women, when no one's looking, he'll just walk right up to them and grab their tits, grab their ass. And
is that Jason Biggs?
No. Jason Biggs is the fiance of the chick that goes into prison.
Mm.
And Pensatucky, I haven't gotten the whole story, but I looked her up on Wikipedia. She is a former drug addict who turned to religion, and she killed a nurse, or attacked or killed a nurse after the nurse questioned how many abortions she was having. And that's Eric's care. And that's who Paul claims Eric is. No, I'm very cool with this Claudette because she's a badass.
I will have to watch it then. I do like lesbian shows.
And there's tits.
Tony, why do you speak my language like that?
Donna from That 70s Show, Laura Prepon.
She a naked?
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Within the first 2 minutes of the show.
Man, they knew what. Just exactly. It's like Christmas.
Yeah.
Netflix Christmas. That Netflix knows what it's doing.
All right. Next week. I had a list around here somewhere.
You started looking on what?
We had a list.
Mm-hmm. About a dozen or more.
Yeah, it wasn't that many.
Well, it's quite a few.
It's a couple.
It was more than a couple. Can no longer hear my garage door open and close without thinking of Breaking Bad.
So good.
Oh my god, and they started right when the door.
Man, I couldn't believe
zero time elapsed.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Skyler, what are you doing?
All right, let's see. We've crossed them off this list. Let's see. We've done Pi. We've done Roger Rabbit. We've done Pacific Rim. We're doing God Bless America.
I fired up God Bless America like right before I left, and my Apple TV was still on Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and I was like, man, I kind of want to watch that again.
Have you seen Netflix doing this new profile thing?
Yeah, kind of. I read an article about it.
It's cool. It, like, right every time you launch the website, it now says, who's watching? So I get to pick. Like, I'm going to set up profiles for the kids so that, like, we start filtering some of that stuff out. So now I always pick Tony because now it shows me, like, the recent stuff I've watched.
The recommendations based on that.
Like, right now, recently watched Orange is the New Black. My list, Orange is the New Black. It's the only thing I think I have on my profile right now just because it just got created. All right, so Stoker, Edison Force, Face Off, and The Wolverine.
Oh my god, Face Off is on there.
Face Off is on there.
How about Edison Force? Of course, I won't be here next week to watch it.
I think next week we should do Face Off then.
Let's do Face Off.
Face Off will be a good one to do a guitar cast to.
Yeah.
Unless you really want to be there for Face Off.
Chances are I probably will not make it because it's the only day I got to do the install.
I mean,
I'm saying if we're planning on
you
not being
here. If we're going to plan on you not being here.
Okay. We'll really do something you don't give a shit about.
If you really want to do Face Off, we'll do something else.
Go ahead.
Okay. No.
That's what I thought.
Are you sure? It is probably the defining movie of our generation.
Nah,
but they're going to take the face
off.
Off.
The defining Nick Cage, John Travolta movie of our generation.
Not the defining Nick Cage movie, because there's too many of those to count.
Nick Cage, John Travolta.
Yeah, that's to be the two of them.
Have they done anything else together?
I hope not.
I think so.
God, I hope not.
All right, we'll go with Face Off next week, then.
Face Off. Oh, God. I can't tell you how tickled I am with next two.
Face Off and Guitar Cast all at once.
Oh, yeah, I remember my guitar.
Halfway through the episode, we just switch instruments. And then it will get really, really bad.
Then it will get pretty bad. How do I play this with my fingers? I don't want to play this with my fingers.
There's only four strings, though.
Yeah, well, my other hand hurts. I don't have to make my both hands hurt. That's really obnoxious. So in 30 years, I don't think I've ever taken a fingernail clipper to my actual hands. I always just chew my nails off. But I've actually started doing that now, but only on one hand.
Yeah.
So that's really annoying.
Yeah.
Like vampire claws on one hand and two short nails on the other. Hurts my hands.
And my this finger still. I think I caused nerve damage that first in practice because it's like it's still like not really don't really get haven't really gotten the sensation back. And that was how long ago?
That was like a month ago.
The first one?
Not the first one.
The first one. This happened the first one. When we played for like 3 hours straight without stopping.
I told Paul I used to get a harmonica.
Oh, yeah. Well, he could Last Dance with Mary Jane. Yeah, we're all in for that. I'm going to bring up a stretch goal for Sausage Fest. We're going to record Last Drink at Sausage Fest as a stretch goal. $2,000 stretch goal. If we hit $2,000, we'll record it. Maybe.
We can do that. We got most.
I mean, the thing is, the music's going to be exactly the same. It's rewriting the lyrics and
I'm not typically good with learning new lyrics, Tony. What am I going to read them?
You know what? We record. All three of us do the recording of this song, and then we jack around and sing the lyrics, or we record the lyrics at Sausage Fest.
Oh yeah.
Have them all printed out and have people
like a
chorus pro. Style. Get everybody who's in the room at the time record them singing it.
You're like a pro.
That'll work. We can do that. Just like Daft Punk did for Tron.
One more time to fuck cancer.
All right. Don't spoil it.
Don't spoil it. Tony, this is my brain space.
I know. It's there.
Infected. Yeah. Like the rabies, I'm sure I have.
All right. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
Tony, you know what I learned today?
What?
Yesterday. I learned that my cats are immune to rabies because they have the vaccines.
Oh, yeah. Well.
So if this cat that we've rescued has rabies, the only people who could potentially get it are me and Melina.
That's awesome.
Well, I've been sleeping in the basement with this thing for 2 nights now. Yes, that face! And I'm like, wait a minute, why am I down there? We're the only two people in this house who can get rabies. I'm fairly sure it doesn't have rabies, though.
Well, to be fair, you're the only two people in the house. Okay, just making sure.
We'll just keep watching for your foaming at your mouth or something.
I'll start drooling first, and then I'll start to lose cohesion.
Control of your bladder.
That'll probably. Well, it's just gonna happen anyway.
Well, that happens anyway.
The podcast will be very, very short.
Yeah. What are we talking about next week, Tony?
Face off.
In the corner.
It's like you know when you were a kid, and it was December 18th, and you're like, "Man, Christmas is only a week away. I can't believe it's so close." That's how I feel about face off right now.
But considering we just decided that it was gonna be face off next week, it's like waking up like. Falling asleep and like it's 4th of July, fireworks, going to bed, waking up, and it's
December 18th. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
So, our new pet can't come to visit your house.
What's your new pet? Oh, the fish.
The fish. Gil. Aaron. So, we went to.
Have you told her my fish joke?
I don't think so.
What'd the fish say when it swam into the wall? Damn.
I remember you telling that joke. Yeah.
That's a joke she can tell at school.
And Holden giggling.
That's a joke she can tell at school.
And probably in trouble.
Probably. But it's still funny.
Yeah, so we went to our lake trip.
Yep.
And she got this loom thing where you can take little rubber bands, kind of like the size of those rubber bands. If you ever have braces and you have those adjustment rubber bands, it's like that size. But you like hook them through these things and you loop them around. It makes these little bracelets out of them.
Sure.
And my cousin's kids had them at our family reunion, so we got it for Aaron for the lake trip, just something to a little artsy thing to keep her occupied.
Sure.
Because it was also supposed to rain that weekend, so we need to have backup plans for the kids.
Let us find indoor activities.
Yeah. So she goes around making all these bracelets and like starts charging people for them. That little shit walked away from the lake trip with $28.
Wow. Entrepreneur,
yeah.
Tony, your work is done.
So she
give up now.
Her and Julie
learn from her.
Yeah, her and Julie went shopping and like we got a pet. Okay, do we know how to take care of this pet? Nope. It's a beta, so fortunately,
Not much maintenance.
After having done a little bit of research, yeah, there's like very little maintenance. The biggest things we learned is don't get two males, or you'll very shortly only have one male.
Yes.
And if you get females, get numerous females. We keep them separated, but it's okay to mix them with a male. The male, like, takes care of things.
I don't know what that means.
Weird. I don't know. It's like there's weird pecking order. It's like if you get females, don't get just two females because then there will be a definitive pecking order and like one will starve the other out. But if you have like five of them, it's okay because then there's like this ecosystem of a pecking order and it's not as bad. It's, yeah, things that I've learned in the last week.
So you only got one though, right?
We only got one. We got one male. And it's pretty funny. If you put a mirror up to it, like, it swims up to it, and, like, its whole face just bloats. Like, it's like a cobra. Like, flares its whole face. It's pretty funny.
It's awesome.
I got too close the other day, and, like, it must have seen its reflection in my glasses, because it swam right up to me and went, what? What?
That's awesome.
Dude, I took my glasses off. He was fine. Very strange. All right, and next week we can maybe, if you remember...
I'll remember.
...expect another guitar cast, which will be after our third band practice this weekend, so it should be solid. Listen,
my guitar is never far from my thoughts. So you know how ridiculous a bar F is?
No.
All right, so here's the thing. So when you play, like, with your left hand, like, you always have this problem, because, like, you have to... You can't put your fingers down on the strings... You have to arch your finger so you don't hit the other strings, right?
Right.
So you have to create a certain amount of like pressure with your thumb so that you can push off of it to arch your finger.
Sure.
All right. So
I have the same thing with the bass.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it's thicker strings. It's thicker. There's fewer of them, but they're thicker.
Yeah, yeah. So it's easier for you to bump it like the fleshy bits of your finger.
Right.
So the bar F is like you have to – so you get the neck of the guitar – it's going to be awesome for people who can't
see
it. But you have to lay your first finger down across all six strings like this, and then curl this finger over this way, and then your other two fingers over next to it. It's the worst thing ever. And so, like, I've got to this point in this song, and it's a really fast song, and I'm kicking ass at it, but, like, I have to get here from here, and I can't make that work. Like, you have to change the position of your, like, wrist to do it. It's the worst thing ever. I hate it so much. It hurts, too. Like, it hurts to...
Like, once you figure that out, you could enter the Masturbation Olympics, though.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Watch the dismount.
Yeah. Yeah, it hurts. Like, because you have to hold it really hard. Like, then my hand is shaking.
Yeah, I can see that. Man, it's too bad we don't have video.
Imagine... No, that's insensitive. I'm not going to say that.
All right. So, Gen Con. Any good Gen Con stories?
Ooh, I got a lot of good Gen Con stories, but I mean, I don't know. A lot of them have to be, you got to be there for it. Not really. So, last year, True Dungeon, remember Rob had his thing?
Yeah, yeah.
So, the best thing about True Dungeon this year was we did a room, and so at the end of the room, the guy's like, hey, is this anybody's first Gen Con? We're like, oh, look, it's Ashton's first Gen Con. You know, all that shit I hear. So then he's like, how's your Gen Con going? How's the True Dungeon going for you? Fine. Hey, wait a minute, man. Did you ask a group of people that last year, and then some dick in the group was like, this is the worst thing I've done in 4 years? Yeah. Yeah, that was weird. Oh, yeah, that was us. Yeah, that guy sucked. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
I think we have that story recorded.
We do. I had to have told that story. That story's too good not to tell. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So,
Stingray survived?
Stingray survived.
Did all of his immediate family members survive?
Yeah.
He has a tendency to lose people at Gen Con.
Yeah, he does. Gen Con doesn't go well for Stingray, but as far as I know, there was no ill occurrences for Stingray.
Well, that's good.
Other than he had to spend... that Tuesday and then the rest of that Sunday with me, and I just told him, like, as soon as he got into the car, I'm like, all right, man, here's the deal. I'm going to sing, and I'm going to sing a lot. You're going to have to deal with it. And sure as shit, man, I sang, like, all the way here that night and then all the way home and then, like, all the way to Gen Con and then, like, while we were walking around Gen Con, then when we came home from Gen Con.
He got really sick of Mary Jane's last day.
He probably really sick of it. So then, like, I don't know, because we were hanging out a bunch. So, like, I was running out of stuff to talk about. So it's like, I should have just really reaching deeper to the well. You know, Stingray, if I could do it over again, I'd probably concentrate on the guitar and not do anything else. Why are we talking about this? I don't know. I got nothing.
I got something. I need to talk.
Yeah, I got the silence here, and I want to fill it, because if I'm talking, then I don't have to be listening. And then when I listen, it takes so much energy to listen. It doesn't take a lot of energy to talk.
No.
No, I can just keep going, Stingray. You know what I find funny, Stingray? Elephants. They're a funny-looking creature. Played a ton of games. I don't know. It was good.
Any good games to mention? You mentioned earlier. I'll probably keep that part of the recording anyway. But
Snake Oil. Yeah. I played more Free Market with the Grillionaires, mm-hmm. where our whole mercy is about, you know, we're barbecue enthusiasts.
Right.
And so it was me and Josh this year, and our goal was we wanted to create a mechanical hawk that flew around and distributed barbecue sauce. Some people called it the Hickory Hawk. So then we made it, and we're like, this is awesome. Let's make a bigger one. So we made a man-sized Hickory Hawk. And one of the aspects it has is terrifying.
We could have that show up at Sausage Fest. To deliver the sauce.
Yes. That's right. Where's the sauce for that sausage fest?
It is seriously the next tattoo I'm seriously considering getting. It's a man-sized hawk.
Of your whole body.
I don't know. I don't have any good stories.
All right, well.
I got drunk a lot. I didn't throw up on anybody.
Well, that's good.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But Becca licked you and became patient zero.
Yeah, I would not have done that. Also, it's a weird thing at Gen Con, because there's nowhere to wander to. Because there's no central party, so there's nothing to wander to or from. So it's kind of hard to wander. It always makes it...
Yeah, unless you know where a group of parties are, or you're at you're in a place that's kind of centrally located from a party to like wander around a gaming floor, but that's not even that interesting to wander.
Yeah,
through.
Because then you're like, nobody else here is drinking, so I'm that drunk guy.
I'm the drunk guy wandering around watching you. Oh, what are you guys playing?
Oh no, I did that too, but I did that to Cam Banks. Cam, I just got some street sausage. We're in the middle of something. Street sausage.
Street sausage, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, don't do that here. I'll do that at Archon. I got some hotel sausage.
We'll be prepared for you. Yeah, so...
I probably shouldn't call it cancer sausage. That's probably not...
cancer That's funnier.
It's funnier.
People will be like, what are you
It's actually kind of distressing.
It is. It might even be accurate. Who knows?
Could be accurate. Hope it's not accurate.
That would be unfortunate.
It would be unfortunate.
So we are doing Sausage Fest again. Started that up. SausageFestSTL.com. You can go and donate. Canadians.
SausageFest.com was taken?
Yes.
That shouldn't surprise me.
So was Sausage-Fest.com.
Here's my professional advice. As somebody who does this for a living and has a degree or two... and several certifications. Do not ever put a dash in your domain name because it looks stupid terrible. And everybody hates it.
And it never works out well.
By the way, none of my professional credentials give me any experience or knowledge.
If your name had it before domain names, get it, but don't use it. Just use it as a resource.
Yeah.
Like T-Mobile, it has T-Mobile and T-Mobile. T-Mobile's their website. So, like, if you put in T-Mobile, it just redirects you to T-Mobile, which is the right way to do it.
Our company domain is with the dash, and I hate every bit of it.
Yeah, that's rough.
ATB-Tech. Dash? Do I spell that out? No. No, I would have given you the letters. Ah.
Yeah. So, we are doing Sausage Fest. There's a new perk this year. The tote bag. I mean, the tote bag's all right. I use it for my gaming bag all the time. It doesn't pop quite like that.
That nylon backpack.
That's nice.
Yeah, because I keep my hands free.
Ink on it.
I don't care about the looks. I just like to keep my hands free.
Well, that too. Yeah.
The utility is more important to me than the form, Tony. It's not an ugly bag.
No, but it's a sexy bag that's also highly. It's got a great utility value to it.
There's not enough dick on that bag for me though, Tony. To be honest with
you. You can make another one.
There's a big sausage on it.
There's a big sausage on it. Yeah, the Canadians are kicking the Americans' ass as far as donations go, which is fun.
But you know what? They get paid on irregular days.
That must be it.
That's what I'm going to say.
Two Canadians on the same day.
Mm.
With no Americans so far.
They're so polite.
We can even that up after tonight.
I hung out with a bunch of them at Gen Con. They are so polite.
Oh, they were polite enough to donate, so good on them. And there's at least a couple more Canadians that I know listen. So
they're so polite, they don't even say, fuck cancer. They say, what? We're sorry, cancer.
We're sorry that we're going to have to
eradicate you. That's how polite they are. That's some intense politeness.
We're not a boot fucking you.
So donate so Tony doesn't do his Canadian accent anymore.
That'd be terrible.
They insult everybody to the north of the border.
Mostly just Scott.
Mostly just Scott
Walker, yeah.
Okay.
Because he won't show up to Sausage Fest.
That's pretty lame.
I think it has something to do with not being able to travel in the U.S. That's probably not true.
Well, you know.
But I'm going to keep using that as an excuse until he shows up.
That's because he leaked our national secrets to WikiLeaks.
The national secrets that we really don't know.
That everybody already knew?
Yeah. All right. This week, God Bless America.
Oh, that's not the movie I watched.
Oh.
Yeah, did you watch? No, I watched it.
What'd you think, Daryl?
I hated this thing.
Excellent. That's what I wanted.
I'll go into details later, but...
All right.
I just...
I love this movie, but not because I like the movie. Yeah.
Okay.
I did Cryptic Review Guy.
Bobcat Goldthwait makes some weird movies.
He sure goddamn does.
And?
It's his revenge for all the Police Academy movies.
That could be true.
This is not the movie that you needed. This is the movie you deserved because you made 7 Police Academy movies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of true. It reminded me of... Kind of reminded me of Natural Born Killers, but I've only seen Natural Born Killers once in the theater, and I hated it.
I have to agree. I've seen this movie 3 times before. It's Natural Born Killers. It's Falling Down.
It's Falling Down.
This movie follows almost the exact same plot line as Falling Down, with Natural Born Killers light thrown in. And there's one other I can point to that I was thinking about on the way over. Hey, this movie is more derivative. I didn't find anything funny about it at all. I just found it was just a sad commentary on everything.
Yeah,
That's what I liked about this movie.
I mean, the main character, everything he does is self-inflicted. And yet he goes around and blames everything else. Blames all of society. He never does anything about it other than just kill people.
Now, see, I was really annoyed with that whole thing until the very end of the movie. And when it gets flipped on
dude,
him, when it gets flipped on him and they realize that they are just as much part of the problem as everybody else and they mentally high five. I thought it was like, okay, you earned that moment. And that made it I enjoyed it because of that. So in the end I did like the movie.
What?
I don't know that I'll ever watch it again. And I think...
I've watched it twice now.
I think World's Greatest Dad is a much better movie.
It's a much better movie, but only because of the picture of the boy. The picture of that boy is just so goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah. I think overall it is a better movie, though.
It probably is a better movie.
I think Bobcat Goldthwait did a fairly good job of directing. I mean, I don't fault the actors. They were pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Joel Murray did a wonderful job with this.
Yeah.
As being the haphazard protagonist.
Frank,
and his sidekick there, Tara Lynn Barr. She did a really good job, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, God, it's just that this movie just did not resonate with me at all. I just found it just too goddamn derivative. If I had never seen the other two, I might have liked it better.
It was a little bit Heathers-ish, too.
Mm, yeah.
Not as quirky and campy as Heather's was, but it had that same theme of disenfranchised mainstream America needs to die in a fire.
Yeah.
Or in a hail of gun
bullets. Fire. I mean, it seems the way we solve every American solves his problems is just pick up a gun and go shoot something.
Yeah.
I mean, we never did seem to do anything positive. I mean, like,
whoa, did you not hear about that chick?
That was wild.
Some dude walked into an elementary school, guns loaded, and the school teacher, like, talked him down and then disarmed him with no weapons and just words.
There's two heroes.
That shit is awesome.
They did bury the headline that shots were fired.
Oh, yeah, shots were fired, but nobody was injured.
Nobody was injured. Yeah. No, that was pretty awesome.
That shit is awesome.
Yeah.
Kudos. Mental high five to that chick.
No kidding.
Wherever she is.
No kidding.
I hope she is banging like there's no tomorrow. There's nothing more life-affirming than this guy is going to kill me.
Oh, I didn't die.
You talked him out of it.
My brain is more powerful than a gun.
That's right. Now, it is time to brain bang someone. Like, Krang style.
I don't know. I don't know how much there is to talk about.
So here's what I like about this movie. One, I haven't seen the other two movies that this is derivative from.
Well,
there was help.
And there you go. Yeah.
Two, I don't think that this movie is derivative of those other two movies. I don't even need to see them. I don't think that a movie can be derivative of another movie that is someone is incredibly frustrated by how society is, can't find an outlet to express that frustration in any meaningful way, and so they just give up and go on a violent rampage. I don't know that I need a movie for that to be derivative of, because I kind of think that there are plenty of examples of that already.
Happening, yes.
Like, I've had that fantasy personally, not having seen these movies, that I don't need...
I mean, it's just another way of telling that same kind of story.
Yeah, same story, only now, it's more topical, because it's
I think,
more recent.
I think... If you're going to hold up any other movie to it and say these movies are very much alike, and if you see one, you probably really don't need to see the other, it's Natural Born Killers. Falling Down has the same premise, but it's done in a different way, and it's got a lot more serious tone to it.
Michael Douglas?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I like Falling Down, and I do enjoy that movie, but it's not – it's got the same thematic bent to it, but it's not the same movie.
I'm kind of currently watching this with the final season of Breaking Bad anyway, so...
Well, yeah.
Walt rejects cancer, and so he goes on a killing spree.
He's going to kill cancer.
He's going to kill cancer.
He's going to fuck cancer.
He's going to kill cancer with Skylar.
You pick her up and
beat it out of him.
Yeah, well, in that sort of way, this movie is sort of parodying itself. I mean, it goes...
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he goes on and does the exact same things that he hates that he sees all the time.
The thing about this movie is a revenge fantasy.
Yes.
It is
comes to life.
It is absolutely a revenge fantasy. The same way Death Wish and any number of other movies are just revenge.
Death Wish.
Charles Bronson. The Crow. Jesus, The Crow is such a revenge fantasy. I did not care for that movie.
Neither did I.
It was just...
It's like, oh
great.
This movie
the one thing
still going.
The one thing that we can think to do after we die, instead of trying to reaffirm the love for the other person, is let's just kill things. What?
Tony, he was an avenging spirit.
Oh, I did not care.
No, Tony, you don't understand avenging spirits.
I am an avenging spirit.
Yeah, I got it.
Sausage is the avenging spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It avenges.
It can be found on the street.
Sweet tasting blade.
It's like a street samurai. Get a huge string of kielbasa links. Smack people with them. You'd be the street sausage samurai of St. Louis.
So I liked this movie because I'm generally frustrated with the way things are. And I have zero ability to change the way that society is structured. And so I understand his frustration, though do not share his ability to go around murdering people as a solution, because that's not actually a solution.
This is also the premise of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
It is.
Except they didn't...
Do it better. They did it so much better.
They didn't kill people.
Right.
But, yeah,
and
it is.
George Carlin blew some dude in the truck.
That's true.
God damn, George Carlin. Too soon. Too soon.
Yeah.
Great.
You are
now
the
we're
ones
all depressed.
Who are the ball lickers.
Yeah. Now everybody's depressed because of the thing about George Carlin, how awesome he was.
You did it.
I want to go home and drink some wine and Vicodin. It's good enough for George Carlin. It's good enough for me.
That's true.
God, I saw that guy when he came here, like on his final tour. That dude had, like, godlike mastery of the stage presence and could work the, like, when that guy wanted the room to be quiet, the room was silent.
Yeah. He's always been great at that. Like, even looking back at, like, the old Carson appearances.
Yeah.
His old appearances on Carson were like that, too. He just, like, owned it. Just completely owned it. And that was, like, 45 years ago or something like that.
Yeah. But still, you have an audience that just loves George Carlin.
Oh, yeah.
And that helps.
Oh, it goes a long way.
I feel like with him, the same way that I feel about Walt, I feel like he and I beat cancer. We didn't beat cancer. He never had cancer, but I feel like we beat it.
Yeah.
I feel like we won World War II together. We can do it. We did it. That's so weird. I don't know how to describe that feeling, but he made me feel it, and I don't know why. Maybe it was that half ponytail he had going on.
He rocked that for a long time.
He did. He really did, and he rocked it.
And he was Rufus.
That was probably it.
So the overall premise of this movie is, don't do what this guy did. Do something more positive. Turn off that damn TV show. Turn it all off. Go do something with your life other than just vegetate.
Well, and he got to a point where he realized that he was a hypocrite.
Right, because
he was avenging things that didn't need avenged.
Right.
First.
I mean, he just couldn't get it past his head at one point towards at the end. That people love this stuff because they do like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't have a market if it didn't have an audience.
Yeah, it's not for you, and that's okay. But you don't have to go on a violent rampage because of it.
Right. I mean, you either ignore it or you counter-program against it.
I don't think that's what happened in the end.
No, it did.
I think in the end he realized, no amount of me killing people is going to make this better.
No.
I'm because just done here.
Well,
and because the dude's like, I don't try and kill myself because people are making fun of me. I don't even know. They just won't put me on TV anymore. No, this is one step too far. I'm out.
Yeah. Like,
here are my chips. Catch me out.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was. It was he realized, oh, I'm as much a part of this problem as anyone.
Where is that coming from? Because I don't think he gets to that point.
I think he does.
I don't think so.
I think his shooting him did that. Because I think that was just suicide by police bullets.
By proxy, yeah.
Maybe.
At that point.
I think that was just him.
Because they did not make one attempt to shoot the police that they knew were in the balcony and going to shoot at them. They
kind of randomly fire off into the crowd.
They very deliberately kill certain people first, though.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they kill the judges. They kill that guy. They kill the judges. They start firing into the audience. He's a good shot, too.
He's a good shot.
He had a lot of practice.
He did.
I don't agree with that. I don't think he gets to the point where he thinks he's a hypocrite.
You don't think so?
No.
I think he does.
I don't think so.
I think he finally realizes at the end. It says, you know, we're part of the circus, too. I mean, I'm just feeding this media monster.
Does he say that?
That's what it comes down to.
There's no chance for
because
him to say
it. All the time, Roxy is always on the TV and looking to say, oh, hey, they're not talking about us.
Yeah.
They're talking about everything else but us.
That was really telling about halfway through when they're in the hotel and she's surfing, looking to see what they're talking about. Hey, are they talking about us? Do they get it? Do they get what we're trying to do? Are we in the media yet? Are we part of the fame machine? Which is, she doesn't say that, but there's an expectation of that.
Yeah, she's always looking for it, no matter what. That's why, again, he throws her phone out the window. It's like, you know, shut up and pay attention to what's going on around you. Stop trying to just say plugged in. But this whole story just seems to wrap around that whole premise of just, am I part of the problem or am I part of the solution? And he's just part of the problem.
I don't think he gets there.
He doesn't get it immediately.
No, I don't think he gets it at all because in the end he finally gives up. And for me, the giving up and not accepting that he's part of the problem is him telling her that she's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what she wants to hear.
I know that's what she wants to hear, but the reason he didn't tell it to him before was because he was too constrained by what his notion of what society thought was okay.
Proper, yeah.
And that was not okay. And him saying that to her, all right, yeah, I finally give up. Like, I'm I'm finished here, and this is what I really think, and I don't really care anymore because screw I will shortly convention. Be dead.
Yeah, screw society's convention. I thought it was a dead man before. This whole movie is essentially a long drawn out suicide.
Yeah, because he doesn't accept his death until the end. Him on the stage is when he finally accepts that he's going to die. When he has the tumor, he never accepts that he's going to die. Just him killing people is just him fighting that.
Yeah,
fighting his own mortality.
Yeah, it is. It is that. It's him fighting his own mortality. I think what bugged me, I get the not liking the reality stuff, not liking that whole the whole concept of fame and media and fame for the sake of fame, and like because that carried throughout the movie.
Sure,
killing the Sweet 16 girl, going after the American Idol judges, the Superstar Idol, whatever they were
also
called.
The ultra-conservative commentator, the Westboro Baptist Church, and dozens of other things.
I think what bugged me the most, though, was the beginning and the
baby fantasy?
Not the baby fantasy, the girl. The girl that he worked with.
The first one. Yeah,
this that just seemed to come out of left field.
And I kind of feel like there's not a lot of he murders.
Somebody has some angst about a girl, and they just threw that in there just to like see if they could sneak it in.
Yeah, it was just a very weird thing, and
kind of like that story you wrote on the boat.
First off, that story was awesome.
It was.
That story was awesome.
But there was a lot there.
There was too much there, probably. Probably too much there.
Right, and that's what that felt like. That's what that scene felt like. That whole sequence felt like. Granted, it was also a plot device to get him out of work and to force him into action.
But I think
there really was a call to action.
I think they could have come up with something else, like his boss is standing behind him when he's going on this crazy fucking rant, and his boss is like, whoa, you're unstable. You need to get out of here. Or
that's what I expected. I expected it to be something like, hey, you don't like American Idol? What's wrong with you? There is obviously something wrong with you.
Yeah.
And you need to go
our shrink says that you have psychopathic tendencies. Something like that.
I would have even accepted like that and then them sending him home for a week and then him just spiraling after that. It would have made more sense. It would have actually played in greater to the theme of the whole rest of the movie.
Right. Yeah, the thing with the chick is weird and like it seemed really out of character for him.
And really bitter.
Like he looked up her address and then sent her flowers. Like I kind of feel like he's the kind of guy that he would realize that's not okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a weird thing. Like, I kind of feel like he would feel that's a weird thing and maybe I shouldn't do that.
Right. Right.
It's just a...
Yeah, it seemed weird, but at the time we were also being introduced to the fact that he had a brain tumor. So it was like, well, maybe that's the angle they're going for. This brain tumor is making him do bizarre shit.
Maybe,
but I don't know. But then, like, when the brain tumor wasn't there, it was like, well... Okay, that the none of that.
Yeah,
there's
no justification.
No, I mean, none.
That doctor was awesome though.
You're not gonna sue me, are you?
Yeah. All right, I gotta call this dickhead. He's probably gonna sue me. It's really gonna suck.
You're not gonna sue me, are you?
No. Right. Why do I have these headaches?
Nice again.
I don't fucking know.
How should I fucking know?
That doctor was great.
Yeah, I don't know.
Come on, Daryl, you gotta like it. No. Maybe you didn't get it.
I got it all too well. And I got bored with it, too. I can tell when I get bored of the movie, I'm constantly checking the time, see how much more the thing is gonna run. And if I do it more than 2 or 3 times, I'm bored with it.
I can see that.
And I'm just moving along just to see how this thing ends.
I do that when Chloe Moretz is in the movie, too. All right, this movie's gonna end soon.
Anyway, for Joel Murray, though, this was another notch in his filmography. At least he's starting to build one now, the major motion pictures. He's done a lot of TV work. Mm-hmm. But you can see him most notably in Monsters University, where he was voice actor for one of the characters. And he's got another movie coming out here shortly, too. But the younger actress there, Barr, this is only her fourth movie of any
series. I recognize her.
Only her fourth appearance in anything. Mostly it's all been shorts.
Dharma and Greg.
Yes, I was quite surprised that's where he comes from. Yeah.
That is terrible. God damn.
The successful series, and he's done a lot of TV series. He's done writing and directing and producing. So he's a pretty multi-talented actor.
Well, he's in Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody gonna see that? Because it looks terrible.
I don't know. It's getting some kind of some good traction. I'll probably go see it just because I'm kind of fascinated by the guy anyway. But I'd rather read the book.
I'll probably see it when it comes on whatever. Like, I won't seek it out.
I've never seen any of the movies this chick was in.
Well, they're all shorts. TV. She's only had one major motion picture appearance.
Oh, and this is... The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. Never mind. Take it back.
I don't know why I would have seen her in anything.
She knows American Sign Language.
Whoa, there you go.
You're welcome, Tony.
Surprisingly, IMDb reviews rates this thing pretty fairly well, better than average.
7.2.
I tell you, the movie was well made. It, aside from the chick at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
the rest of it was well told. I thought the structure of
the movie is good. I mean, Goldthwait was a good director.
It was well written. It told a story. The plot was fairly
story. It kicked out a point of view.
It did. There were big parts where it was like, okay, here's the agenda.
Yes.
This movie had an agenda, and it wore it on its sleeve, and that's fine. Because, you know what?
Little obfuscation of the agenda.
No, exactly. Where other movies like Hurt Locker and things like that, they try to,
wrap it into a drama.
Yeah. And that's...
This one, it makes no pretense. It tells you up front what we're all about.
I'll tell you, another movie this reminds me of is Red State.
Mm, yes. Another thing with another movie with a director... writer who has a little bit of an axe to grind.
Yeah, which is okay.
Right, honestly, I know where Kevin Smith is coming from all the time, and he makes no attempt to hide anything.
No,
Goldthwait didn't either.
Same here. I enjoyed this movie more.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the experience of watching this more than I enjoyed watching Red State. Which, if you would have told me 10 years ago that I would enjoy Bobcat Goldthwait movie over a Kevin Smith movie. I would have punched you in the nuts.
Well, let's put it this way. If anybody had told you that Bobcat Goldthwait was still making movies after some of the abortions that he had done.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually made a good one. I would be like, get out of here. You're just smoking dope again.
I thought he was dead.
A couple of good movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's made a couple of good movies.
Yes, he has.
I almost want to go back and see some of these other movies that he's written and directed. Just
no, spare yourself. Just stick with the good ones.
Well, I don't know what's good and not. So
World's Greatest Dad. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah. I'm talking the more recent stuff. I'm not going to go
way back into the distant past.
Well, you don't really have to because we already watched that.
Apparently, Sleeping Dogs Lie. I heard good stuff about that one, too, which I think was his first.
Did you? Did you hear good stuff about it?
I did. IMDb rates it as a 5.8, though.
Yes.
But it's 87 minutes.
You can tolerate it. A rainy afternoon movie.
Well, I've never seen any of these things. Oh my god, he's on the soundtrack.
Oh, wait a minute. Please. I did see Shakes the Clown, too.
Oh god. Yes. Best of the alcoholic clown movies.
I actually did like Shakes the Clown. It's a bizarre movie.
God, is it? Yes, especially if you notice the uncredited appearance of Robin Williams in there.
I don't remember. I think I probably saw that movie 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's
kind of fun to watch if you're fairly smashed to begin with.
Oh, okay.
Or have a thing about clowns. But you always
in just... what way? When you say have a thing about clowns, where exactly are you going with that?
I mean, if you like again to see clowns, clowns as they really are.
Okay.
Depicted with reality.
Yeah, the thing is, like, bouncing around looking at some of this stuff, he makes low-budget movies,
mm-hmm.
but they always return their money.
Yeah, well,
so.
I mean, he must have went to the Roger Corman School of Filmmaking. I mean, you don't spend a lot on him.
He has a quote, "That movie looks so bad, I can't believe I wasn't in it." That's awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
Well, I tell you what.
He was in a lot of bad movies.
Yes, if you want to see the absolute worst one, Hot to Trot.
I don't I don't remember that one.
Most people would rather forget it anyway.
I already have.
Bobcat is one of the voices in Skylanders Giants, the video game. I'll have to pull that game out and see that. Because Holden's got
Tony's going to pull it out. It's time to go.
Time to pull it out. Time to pull out Pop Fizz.
I don't know what's happening.
No, you don't. Wow. He's done a lot of voice work recently, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has a very distinctive voice.
He has a very distinctive voice.
That really works well.
Oh, he's Police Academy 2. Academy 3. Okay, I can forgive
him. He's been in
Adventure Police Academy 4.
Stop it.
I can forgive him. He's actually been in an Adventure Time episode.
I'll be honest with you. Adventure Time sucks.
Yeah.
It's confusing and I don't like it.
It's bizarre. What's scary is like I can see some of our gaming sessions like that, like they took some of those live play recordings we made and like just ripped them for scripts for that show. They're so bizarre.
Yes.
I don't have much else to say.
Me neither. I'm already on Twitter talking to Cam Banks about Idris Elba. Because all he tweeted was Idris Elba in all caps. So I just don't mean to reply with sprung. Like you do. I'm supporting minorities, Daryl.
Wasted effort.
What?
They wasted him.
Yeah,
they did waste him. They wasted him in Pacific Rim.
They did waste him. He should have been one of the Jaegers.
Just motion captured him?
No, just build a small set. Have him wrestle an alligator.
Even better.
No, fight a hurricane.
Just punch a hurricane right in the face.
Yep. I kind of feel like that's why we have
a storm. That's a storm coming. We got to do something about it. There's gonna be kaiju behind it. Just punches the storm right in the face.
Here's
the
thing. It goes down. It stays down.
Idris Elba, more popular and more stuff this year. Hurricane number, way low. Way down this year.
That's true.
Although hurricane season's not till later.
Anecdotal proof. New band name.
Also, it was a cooler summer. He's stopping global warming. He's absorbing all the heat.
Absorbing all the CO2. The excess CO2.
He's absorbing everything.
Pacific Rim.
He's taking everything we have to give him.
Is a metaphor for the hurricanes. Because they keep getting bigger. And what do we
do?
More
numerous.
We just tried to build a wall, and that didn't work. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to do?
He goes out and rocks.
What are we going to do?
Awkward sexual
Here
analogy.
Here he is, rocking you like a hurricane.
Dropping a bomb into a weird vagina vortex.
Sauron's vagina.
Yeah, it was Sauron's vagina. I would have dropped the bomb down
there. I wonder
if
they felt it. It was ribbed for your protection.
Oh. And that's how the podcast died.
Yankee was sharp and pointy, though. That's not ribbed. That's angry.
Angry sex.
Cactus.
Talking about sprung.
Sprung.
Yeah.
Boing.
Idris Elba.
Swing.
What?
All right. I'm going to call this one done.
Okay.
I'm already on FML, Tony.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
FML. Fuck my life.
Well, I know what that means. Is that a website or something?
Yeah. People just post them.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Next week. Face off. Off.
Tony, today,
Guitarcast.
As I was walking downstairs to get breakfast, I saw my parents had decided to have a quickie on the couch. I had to awkwardly stand out of sight of the stairs, too scared to go down or even back up because our stairs creak.
Ooh, such a dilemma. That's a first world problem.
Finite Matters Limited.
I don't know
what FML.com.
No, that's not what you want.
I know.
Maybe it's F My Life.
FMyLife.com. Yep.
Today, after I'd watched a few videos of myself, I realized the sound of my own voice is the single most annoying thing I've ever heard. Yeah, who doesn't feel that way?
Every podcaster ever learns that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, that
Until
guy sounds like a retarded bison.
Compression.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, that's me.
What I sound like. Oh,
everybody,
my God.
Everybody else sounds awesome, but they sound exactly like themselves, and I sound like an asshole. Wait, that must be what I really sound like. Shit.
Today, I got sexual tingles while watching a Subway worker assemble my sandwich.
Yes.
All right, I gotta go.
Today, I was showing a new girl around at school. As we were walking through the parking lot, she noticed a green Jeep and commented, quote, "I heard the person who drives that is a total creep. Is he?" I said I didn't know who it was. It was my car.
You're just owning your own car.
Man,
how old?
Yeah, some of these people are like, "Oh, this terrible thing happened to me." You don't really have a sense of humor.
Like, that is funny.
It is funny.
Yeah, that's me. They probably said that because I abducted some kids. Deal with it.
I spent 5 hours in the ER with my 75-year-old grandma. Why? Because she attacked an old lady and punched a nurse in the face, kicked him in the balls, and jumped on his back and choked him. She had 5 guards holding her down and is now convinced they're trying to kill her.
Well,
that's a feisty old gal.
That's a funny story. That's
all that.
She's going to be really, really popular at the home.
Yeah, which one for the criminally insane or
fucking Bertha?
Somebody's going to try to ride that.
Oh, from the side. Ride that career.
All right.